The bare necessities of life will come to you.
Hello, everybody. If you're a new listener and this is your first time here, welcome. This is Aprender Inglés con Reza y Craig, episode 45. I'm Reza, and next to me here is my good friend Craig. Hello, Craig.
Hi, Reza, my good friend. How are you doing?
Very well. And you?
I'm very well, thank you.
Now, what are we going to do this week? Well, we're going to help you improve your English as we do every week and take it to the next level. If you want to find out more about our podcast, you can go to inglespodcast.com and you can study English free at mansioningles.com. Now, in this episode, 45, we're going to talk about, for example, bear, bear, and bear.
They're the three, they're the same, aren't they?
The three bears. Goldilocks and the three bears.
Are they the same words?
They're not. More will be revealed. In other words, they're words with different spelling, but the same pronunciation. More of that to follow. Also, by popular demand, a lot of listeners have asked us to clarify so and such. And
that's such a good idea.
Such a good idea, isn't it? There's so much in this episode, you won't believe it, listeners. And also, there's a new section on your feedback. And over to Craig for that feedback right now.
Okay, so here we are with this week's feedback from our lovely listeners. We have a message here from Yolanda. Yolanda says, "Hi again. I couldn't bring you Vinaros fish."
Oh,
that's just pity. Well, it's a long way to bring it from Vinaros to Valencia. I don't remember the English name for orange famous fish from Vinaros. Do you remember?
An orange fish?
She spoke about fish from Vinaros and you knew the name and I've forgotten it. But anyway, she didn't bring us any fish. She tried to send us a voice message by mobile. But Yolanda says, "I think it didn't want to send, or I did something wrong. Excuse me if I repeat more than once time the same." I think Yolanda means, "I'm sorry if I'm repeating myself." Mm-hmm. Would be a better way to say that, Yolanda. "I'm sorry if I'm repeating myself." Well, Yolanda, if you have an iPhone or an iPad or an Apple device, you can send us a voice message, but you need to download the free app, the free application from the App Store. It's called SpeakPipe. So if you go to our homepage of inglespodcast.com and you click the send voice message button, then you'll be asked to download the app from the App Store. But that's only on the Apple platform. That's only with an iPhone or an iPad. If you have an Android mobile phone, which many people have, I'm sorry, at the moment I don't think it's possible to send us a message directly through the website. But of course you can send us via your desktop computer with a microphone attached to your computer or with your laptop. And if you don't have an external microphone, you could probably use the microphone that's in your laptop. But obviously, a separate microphone, an external microphone, will be much better because it sounds better. So, go to inglespodcast.com if you want to send us a voice message, Yolanda. She continues, "I'd like you to explain when we can use because of. I know the meaning, a causa de, or por, but I don't know when I have to write it. Overall, in a formal text." Overall, I think, is a translation from sobre todo, which would be especially. Especially in a formal text. Thanks a lot. Best regards, Yolanda. Any thoughts, Reza, on when to use because of in a formal text?
Yeah, formal or informal, I don't think it really matters. I don't find the expression because of particularly formal or informal. It's what I would call neutral.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, you can use it in either formal or informal situations.
Could you give us a couple of examples with because of?
Yeah. Well, I think the thing to notice is the difference between because of and because. Let's start with because of. The football match was cancelled because of the bad weather.
Right.
because
that's
the
reason.
The reason
that it was cancelled was the bad weather.
Yeah, because of the bad weather. Compare it to this sentence, Yolanda. The football match was cancelled because the weather was bad. The first sentence had because of, and the second sentence had only because. I think that's the main point you need to think about. Because of the bad weather is followed by bad weather, a noun, weather.
Is it correct to say that, well, the second sentence had a verb in it? So is this, so when you use because, you need like another clause?
Yes.
So you could say, I didn't go to the football match because I had to visit my grandmother. So that's another
exactly
clause to the sentence.
I, subject, had to, you got a verb, exactly. That's the difference between because and because of. Apart from that, they mean the same.
Right.
It's a grammatical, structural difference. But because of means because, except because of goes with a noun or an ing verb form. For example, because of Craig's complaining, Reza has stopped mentioning Mickey Mouse. Because of Craig's complaining. Complain is a verb. So if I want to put complain, the verb, with because of, I must put it in ing form. Not subject verb, only ing.
Right, that's clear. So I hope that's cleared up or clarified your problems with because and because of, Yolanda. And thank you very much for your message. We have a couple of voice messages this episode, I'm pleased to say. And our first is from Mara, who I'm pleased you're sitting down, Reza.
Yes.
Because we have received our first present.
Ooh.
From Mara. Mara sent us a lovely, well, I won't tell you. Listen to Mara's voice message.
My name is Mara, the same Mara who met Craig in the street last Friday. It was a pity not to have more time to talk because I was in a hurry. I have brought a bar of Swiss chocolate for you this weekend in Zurich. I know that Reza likes sweets. It's not dulce de leche, but it's Swiss chocolate, the best in the world. I'll meet you tomorrow at the British Council reception. I have a very important New Year resolution. I would like to improve my level of spoken English and my pronunciation, and I need your advice. I started the CAE level in the British Council, but it is not that I want to or I need. That's why I give up. And this year, there aren't any conversation group on my level. Could you give me any suggestion? Thank you very much for your podcast and La Mansión del Inglés. You are still the best niece. And another thing, the pronunciation of Hector is Hector, not Hector. Thank you very much.
Okay, so Reza, would you like some fantastic Swiss chocolate? We've got it here.
Well,
it's open
it.
On the table.
Can you hear it? This is, take our word for it. Take our word for it. It's very nice.
It's fantastic.
It's got
nuts inside, nueces. Mm-hmm. It's got nuts inside. It's Swiss milk chocolate. And I think Mara knows exactly what our soft spot is, especially mine. I mean, I love chocolate. So thank you very much, Mara.
Just one thing, Greg.
You think it's a bit rude eating on the podcast?
Well, normally, yeah, but we're showing our appreciation.
Yeah. And if you are thinking of sending us something, we have no objection at all to receiving presents. I mean, don't feel that you would offend us in any way if you wanted to send us more chocolate.
Well, just one thing worries me, Craig.
What's that?
This chocolate, very good quality chocolate.
It's Swiss.
Should we be dealing with strange transactions in Switzerland? I mean, we hear a lot about Spanish politicians these days. And Switzerland and doing things they're not supposed to do.
Right, the Swiss
should
connection.
We really? Is That's, this illegal?
Well, you've got me worried now. Maybe we should eat the evidence so that the tax people don't knock on the door and see that we're eating Swiss chocolate. Our second voice message.
Thanks very much, Mara.
Yeah, thanks, Mara. It's fantastic. Our second. We didn't give Mara any advice on her English
We've
question.
Been enjoying your chocolate so much, we forgot your question.
Completely forgot. So, first of all, Fantastic that you used one of the expressions that we've been teaching, bee's knees. So you are the bee's knees, Mara, for this present. And you asked how you could improve your conversation. Well, I know you live in Valencia, and I know that you have tried a couple of language exchanges in a couple of pubs, which I think we both agree is a good idea. It's a good thing to do. There are two websites that I would recommend for people who maybe don't have language exchange opportunities where they live. There's a website called iTalki, italki.com, and there's another website called verbling.com, verbling.com. I will put links to those two websites in the show notes.
And what can you do on those sites, Craig?
Well, I'm pleased you asked me that, Reza. They are sites where you can speak with other people around the world in any language you want to practice. And initially, it's free. So when you first go there and you register, it's a free service. And they do have paid options if you'd like to maybe speak to a professional teacher. But if you just want to chat and practice your English online with somebody more or less at your level, then I'd suggest you try those websites and they may be useful for you. But of course, you need a computer, you need Skype, and you need a microphone. Would you like to add anything to that, or shall we move on?
I'd just like to say that I'm going to try it myself to practice my French. I recently did a placement test in French, and I discovered I'm B1.
Comment ça va?
Bien, merci. Et toi?
Bien.
Le chocolat est délicieux. No?
Let's get back to the English. This is an English podcast. Our second voice message is from Alejandra from Mexico. How cool, wow. How cool is that to have a listener in Mexico? So here's Alejandra.
Hi, my name is Alejandra Vega. I'm Salvadorian and I live in Mexico City. This is the first time I do this. I study English since I was in primary school, and I always wanted to listen to podcasts, and I really love yours, Craig. You're funny, and your website has marked my life since I was a little child, and I don't know what to say. This is exciting. I want to listen my comments in your podcasts, and maybe another time I'm going to send another one with my friends, because we're going to Seattle and we want to practice our English, and I don't know, this is so exciting. You cannot see the smile on my face, but I'm really happy. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Alejandra, for sending us that voice message. And you sound very clear on your message.
Very nice pronunciation.
Very good English. Mm. And we hope you have a wonderful time when you go to Seattle with your friends. And if you would like to get together with your friends and send us another one, then please do. We're always happy to get voicemail messages from our listeners. Moving on to grammar and so and such. We've had a question asking about the difference between so and such, which is sometimes confused in English. So and such, the difference. Well, we use so and such often to give emphasis to things. So I can say, for example, here in Valencia, it's a cold day. Or, for emphasis, it's such a cold day. Or I can say, it's cold today, or it's so cold today. So when do you use so?
Yeah, Craig, can I stop you? Did you notice you said so there without even meaning to? A completely different meaning of so.
Did
In fact, you've done it twice already.
What did I say?
You said so.
Ah.
The other meaning like, of so, which is like no meaning whatsoever.
Entonces. Yeah.
So is used as a word which means nothing. It's like in Spanish when you say pues and you go on. Craig has done that twice already, I think without even thinking.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. And I think I'm pleased you mentioned it because I've recently been watching some online videos and the guy in the video uses so a lot. And I think I've subconsciously noticed that, and I've started to say so myself. Yeah, thank you. Thank you for mentioning that. That's something I'd like to stop. So...
Yes.
Use so before adjectives or adverbs when there's no noun. For example, she's so pretty. It's so cold. She's so pretty. Ella es tan guapa, or tan linda, if you're in Argentina. So it's so plus adjective. You can also use so with an adverb. You can say, he speaks so quickly. Habla tan rápidamente. So plus adverb. We can also use so with words like much, little, and few. We can say, you shouldn't smoke so much. No debe fumar tanto. Or Craig shouldn't say so much. Mm-hmm. Or there's so little time. There are so few hours in the day.
So as Mara knows, we shouldn't eat so much chocolate.
Well, I'm not sure about that. I think I can have another small piece with my coffee, perhaps. But no, I shouldn't eat so much chocolate.
And did you notice there, listeners, that I said so much chocolate? Chocolate is a noun.
Right.
And right at the beginning, Craig said quite correctly, so usually goes with adjectives or adverbs. But so much can be followed by a noun.
Absolutely. Right? Absolutely.
Or so few. Or so little, mm-hmm, can be followed by a noun.
Right. And such, use such before single countable nouns with an adjective. For example, he's got such a nice car. Or she's such a pretty girl. Do you agree with that?
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Also use such before uncountable nouns and plural countable nouns. For example, weather. Weather is an uncountable noun. We're having such bad weather, or we're having such cold weather. Estamos teniendo un tiempo tan malo. Such plus countable noun, which is sustantivo incontable. Or another example, they always buy such expensive presents. Such plus adjective plus plural noun plus sustantivo in plural.
Or there doesn't have to be an adjective. For example, we've been moved today by Mara and Yolanda and Alejandra, by their kind words, by such kindness.
That's right. Such kindness from our listeners. We've been moved emotionally by such a wonderful community that we have on Inglés Podcast. So,
But do it, Craig. It's normal, but just our listeners should be aware that so's nothing to do with the other so you've been talking about.
Yes, but it annoys me when I say it without thinking. It annoys me when I say it without thinking.
You can't stop, can you?
Stop.
Because we all do it.
That's terrible. Oh, no. What other word could I use instead of so?
Well.
Well.
Bien, yeah. And the Spanish do exactly the same. They go, bien. Or they go, so, pues. It's exactly the same in Spanish.
It is, yeah, yeah. But I think it's good to be aware to know how you're using the language. Mm-hmm. Well, just remember, so plus adjective or adverb. So plus adjetivo o adverbio. Such plus noun, sustantivo, with or without adjective. Con or sin adjectivo. If you remember that, you shouldn't be making any mistakes with so and such. For example, his car is so nice, it's such a nice car.
Such a nice car.
She's so pretty, or she's so gorgeous.
She's such a gorgeous woman.
It's so hot.
It's such a hot day.
Yeah. So we can use so and such with that to show extremes that end in a result. In this case, that is optional, not compulsory. For example, he did such a good job on the software design that they gave him a full-time job with the company.
Craig, let's play a little bit with that. And honestly, listeners, we haven't prepared this in advance. I'm going to say a clause with so or such, and I'm going to get up to the word that, and then Craig's going to complete it with a result.
Okay.
So as such, that, plus the result. Okay. Valencia is so noisy in Fallas
that we tend to go away for that week.
Okay, just in case you don't know, Fallas is the when they have all the fireworks and burning things and Valencia goes crazy.
And it's next month.
Yep, coming up soon. We'll have a special on that. Don't worry. Don't worry. As ever. Okay. Reza spoke so much about Mickey Mouse that...
I banned speaking about Mickey Mouse on the podcast.
Yeah, sorry, I've just broken the ban, haven't I? Okay.
I didn't ban it. I didn't ban it.
Okay. Our listeners are so faithful to us that...
It's a real pleasure to do this podcast for them. Moving on to vocabulary, and this week I thought we could answer a question that we got for in an email around the words bear, the noun, B-E-A-R, to bear, the verb B-A-R-E, and to bear, the verb B-E-A-R, because the pronunciation is the same, but the meaning is different, and they are sometimes confused. Mm-hmm. So the easy one is the noun, the big growly creature, like Winnie the Pooh or Paddington. What have you got a favourite bear? Who's your favourite bear?
I loved
bear?
Paddington when I was a kid. By the way, I don't know if listeners know Paddington because it's a very British thing. Spanish listeners might not be so familiar with Paddington.
He's the bear with the marmalade sandwich under his hat.
A suitcase and marmalade sandwiches. Yeah. And this might amuse our listeners. Apparently, he was from darkest Peru.
Really?
Darkest, deepest Peru. Do you remember?
No.
At the beginning he said, Paddington Bear from deepest, darkest Peru. I've never met a Peruvian in my life with such a standard English pronunciation. But because Paddington spoke a little bit like that, but apparently he was from Peru.
I was never a Paddington fan. It wasn't. I never read any Paddington books. I knew of Paddington, but he's a very English bear. Very English.
I reckon there's more chance that our listeners have heard of Winnie the Pooh. He's more international, I think.
Yeah.
What about Rupert the Bear?
Rupert the Bear? I'm not sure if Spanish listeners would know him. My favourite bear is Baloo from the Jungle Book.
You like those bear necessities, do you?
The bear necessities. No, I didn't think of that, but that's an interesting connection.
Bear necessities, yeah, they play on the word.
The bear necessities of life will come to you.
Because is that the bear necessities, B-E-A-R, of bears? Or is it the bear necessities, B-A-R-E, the adjective, which means the basic necessities?
I think it's probably the basic necessities, the basic necessities.
But they're playing on the word, right? It's a joke.
That's right. That's why it's funny.
By the way, that's one of my favorite songs of all time.
Oh, it's one of my favorite films. The first Jungle Book, when they used to do cartoons by hand, drawing every frame of the cartoon. That's my favorite. I think I saw that film 12 or 13 times at the cinema when I was a kid. Fantastic. If you haven't seen, or if your children haven't seen the first Jungle Book cartoon, it's got some fantastic music in it. Fantastic songs. So remember not to confuse the pronunciation of bear with beer, cerveza. Okay. Bear, the animal, is B-E-A-R, air. The pronunciation is air, like the air that you breathe. Air, bear. And ear is like oreja, ear in English, which is beer that you drink. So bear and beer.
Of course, all this is true if you've got nice English pronunciation like Craig. But if you're me and you're from the remote provinces, you would put more R in the pronunciation. Mm. I would say the three words the same, but I would say bear with definitely more R sound.
There's definitely more R at the end there, yeah.
Although I pronounce them all the same. And an American might put even more R on and say bear.
Yeah, we've mentioned that before, that you're somewhere in the middle between American pronunciation of the R and standard British English.
And how might a Scot say them, do you reckon?
You
bear.
They'd roll
bear.
The R.
They might roll the R, a bear. I saw a bear in the hills.
Yep. I like that. It sounds nice. So, yeah, the problem really, the two verbs, to bear, B-A-R-E and B-E-A-R. Well, porters, malateros, or mozos de estación, or mozos de cuerda, I saw in the dictionary.
Mozos de cuerda? Oh, yeah, never heard that before.
Maybe that's a Latin American. The people who carry things at stations, etc. So I could say that porters bear heavy sacks and burdens, mm-hmm. cargas, on their backs, mm-hmm. and mothers bear children. So it's B-E-A-R. So both mean carry. And if you remember in episode 42, when Reza spoke about infinitives, we spoke about mothers bearing children and using the infinitive passive to be born.
Yes.
So that's a use of bear.
And so it's to bear a child, past bore and past participle, born.
So it's B-O-R-E and B-O-R-N. I was born. And of course, mothers bear babies in their bodies for 9 months before birth. Uh-huh. So it's not only the moment that you are born, it's the carrying of the baby to bear babies in their bodies for 9 months. Now, strippers...
Oh, Craig. Hold on. And there are some under 18s perhaps listening.
Well, strippers, and it's someone who takes their clothes off for a living. Strippers bear their bodies, sometimes bare naked, B-A-R-E, naked, sin ropa. If I say I was bare naked, I mean I did not have any clothes. I wasn't wearing any clothes. But the expression bear with me, B-E-A-R, is asking the listener for patience. So I'm asking you to be patient with me. So please bear with me for a minute. Please wait, be patient, to keep listening. Bear with me. But if I said to you, Reza, bear with me, B-A-R-E, that means that would be an invitation to undress.
If you said B...
A-R-E. I said to you, Reza, bear with me. It would be, let's take our clothes off.
I wouldn't expect that spelling, yeah. I would expect the spelling B-E-A-R, bear with me, which means be patient, listen, you'll understand in a minute.
Exactly.
Okay. By the way, listeners, in case you're confused about all this, I think Craig should put a photograph of himself bare naked just to make sure it's clear that you've understood. What about that, Craig?
I value our listeners too much to expose them to such horror. Bare is also used as an adjective. For example, the illegal loggers cut down so many trees that they stripped the forest bare. So there we have so many, the use of so many trees that they stripped the forest bare. So the adjective bare means uncovered, naked, or exposed, without cover, without clothing. For example, Reza, let me ask you something. Have you ever run on the beach with bare feet?
Many times.
Here in Valencia?
Over there in the Malvarosa, which I'm looking at right now.
No shoes, bare feet.
Indeed, I have. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And another example, I could say that today I made lunch with my bare hands, mm-hmm. which will be B-A-R-E, because if I made lunch with my bare hands, B-E-A-R, my hands look like bears.
Look like Baloo's.
Baloo's hands. Uh-huh. Yeah.
Your bare hands. So his bare hands, his naked hands, and nothing else. So it means he used his hands and nothing else. Only is his hands.
Exactly. Mm. Exactly.
What about the bare truth, Craig?
The bare truth. The absolute entire truth. Yeah, only the truth. Nothing.
Not dressed up.
Not dressed up, nothing else. Yeah. The pure truth.
People often say it when the truth might be ugly. You might not want to hear it.
Mm-hmm.
Like imagine your girlfriend, your wife says to you, do you like my new dress? And you say, well, here's the bare truth. You look terrible in it.
Too honest, maybe a bit too honest. Another example, another collocation, to bear the responsibility. Who do you think will bear the responsibility for this podcast?
If it all goes well, me. If it goes wrong, you.
That sounds fair enough. Who do you bear a resemblance to in your family?
To my elder brother.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. I bear a resemblance. I look similar to him.
I bear a resemblance more to my father than my mother, more to my dad than my mum.
Mm-hmm.
Other examples, does this document bear your signature? That's the meaning really of have. Does it have your signature? Does this paper have or bear your signature? And one more, I can't bear the heat in Valencia in August. I can't
tolerate.
I can't tolerate or suffer, aguantar, sufrir. something you have to tolerar, to bear something. I can't bear the heat in Valencia. And I think at the end of the podcast, we're going to speak about one or two things that we can't bear.
Indeed.
Also, one final use of bear, to maintain a direction. For example, bear left after the traffic lights. Yes. Again, B-E-A-R. Yeah, bear left.
Turn left, yeah.
Bear right.
Or keep to the left.
And let's leave you, before we leave the subject of bear and bear, a quotation from Oscar Wilde, who said that it is very easy to endure the difficulties of one's enemies. It is the successes of one's friends that are hard to bear. Typical Oscar Wilde quotation. Okay, moving on to a new section of the podcast that we'd like to introduce, called Weekly Wind-Ups.
Weekly Wind-Ups. Weekly Wind-Ups. I just wanted to mention, before we go any further, that there's another very common expression in English, an idiom, which is a pet hate. A pet hate is something that winds you up, something that really irritates you. But we're not going to use that title because we didn't want to confuse people. We didn't want people to think that we were saying we hate pets, like dogs and cats. We don't. We love pets. But I just want to explain that a pet hate is an idiom which means something which annoys you personally very much. Okay?
You could also say pet peeves. That's quite common in English. But it's also not a something that we... I think if we called it a wind-up, it's a phrasal verb and it's maybe easier to... Yeah. It's more useful for the listeners. So you can say a pet peeve, a pet hate, but we've decided to call this a wind-up, which to wind up means to annoy, to irritate, to bother. In Spanish, fastidiar, disgustar, molestar. So things that really, really annoy us, which gives us an opportunity to complain...
Which we love.
Which we love doing. And hopefully you will also think of things that you do not like, and you could send us a voice message and feel better about getting it out and complaining about things that you that really bother you. So, Reza, what did you think of? What really winds you up?
Okay, a classic one amongst many British and Irish people. You might well have the same, Craig, I don't know. Queue jumpers.
Oh, yeah.
People who jump the queue.
That really winds me up.
I imagine many British and Irish people feel the same. Why do I say British and Irish? Well, because in those countries, there's a very long and established and generally well-observed tradition of staying in the queue.
Mm-hmm.
Don't jump it. You've got your place and you've just got to wait.
It's only good manners to let the person that's arrived before you go first.
Yeah.
And they say that in Britain, if there's only one British person at a bus stop, they will make an orderly queue of one.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Typical places where people jump the queue, or I would also say bunk the queue. Yeah. B-U-N-K.
I wouldn't say that.
Might be a Belfast thing. Mm-hmm. Maybe have to edit
jump
that.
The queue.
Jump the queue. For example, a classic. You're in the supermarket queue. You've been there a long time already, but you're getting close to the checkout. It's nearly your turn, finally. What happens? The checkout girl decides she has to close. So they make an announcement. They say, please go to the other checkout over there, number 5. And they'll say in Spain, en orden de cola. They'll say in Mercadona, Valencia. I mean, in the same order that the queue's in now, in order than the cola.
But they don't do that,
do they? People don't. Many people just jump. So the person at the back of the queue ignores that bit about stay in the same order in the queue, por order than the cola, and they go first. That drives me crazy. Because they know they're doing it. And they were told not to do it. But they do it anyway. It drives me crazy.
Yeah, me too. Me too. And this isn't my weekly wind-up, but I want to mention it anyway because you said about being at a checkout queue. One thing that really bothers me, waiting to pay, the people that get to the end and everything's ready and their shopping's ready and it's gone through the checkout, but they don't have their money out. Uh-huh. So there's a queue waiting, and there's this person looking for their wallet, looking for their purse, going to the bottom. What did they expect was going to happen? Have they never bought anything before? Yeah, they've got to the place. Why not take the money out before you get there?
So they're holding up the whole queue.
So everybody's waiting for them to find their credit card, as if it's like a surprise that they have to pay when they leave.
That also happens on, I suppose we're getting into another complaint really, on buses. People who've been waiting at a bus stop for 5 minutes, the bus comes and they get on. And the bus driver says, £1.50, and they go, oh, I better look for my money then. Why didn't you look for it 5 minutes ago? You have to pay for the bus ticket. Why are you looking now?
Yeah. Anyway, my weekly wind-up, this episode, spitting on the street.
Ooh.
To spit is escupir, and not only people who spit on the street, but when they clear their throat in public. So there's this horrible, I'm not going to do it because it disgusts me, I'm not going to do it on the podcast, but you know when you make the noise in your throat before you spit.
Yeah.
And the other day I was walking back from the gym, and a man in front of me spat on the pavement and nearly spat on my shoe. And it's just this horrible thing that I don't understand why people aren't more considerate and why they do it. Anyway, that really, really winds me up.
I agree, it's quite disgusting.
So if you can think of something that annoys you and winds you up, please send us an email or a sound file with a comment or question or wind up, and send those to us via voice message on the website inglespodcast.com or by email to craig@inglespodcast.com or to reza@belfastreza@gmail.com. So tell us what winds you up, gets on your nerves, tell us what gets your goat. What bothers you, disturbs you, what makes you angry, what makes you want to tear out your hair and scream, stop, don't do that, I hate you. And remember, you can also learn English free at mansioningles.com and take your English to the next level with our audio podcasts at inglespodcast.com. Thank you very much for listening, and until next episode, it's goodbye from me.
Bye-bye.
And it's goodbye from him. Goodbye. The music in this podcast is by Pitts. The track is called See You Later.